Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 2nd of Sivan, 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Israel is set to take legal action against the New York Times following a scathing column and video report by Nicholas Kristof that included accusations of serious sexual abuse in Israeli jails. And in one account, he detailed a Palestinian says he was raped by a dog. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Foreign Minister Gideon Saar have instructed officials to begin preparing a lawsuit. Netanyahu has previously accused mainstream media outlets of amplifying false claims about Israel's conduct in Gaza and the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, however you call it. The lawsuit would focus on whether statements in the article crossed the line from opinion or criticism into defamation. And this was not a straight news piece. It was considered to be an opinion piece. It was not clear where the lawsuit would be filed, what damages would be sought, and whether Israeli government institutions or individual officials would be listed as the plaintiffs, because that is a legal issue in this case. Israel's Noam Bitan took second place at the 70th Eurovision Song Contest in Vienna after the grand final on Saturday night, second to Bulgarian singer Dara. Bitan formed his trilingual hit, Michelle. Israel came in third in the televote, which is the public voting system that accounts for half of each country's total score, and they came in eighth in jury rankings. Israel took home 343 points overall, 220 from the public and 123 from the juries. Despite anti-Israel protests and boos in the crowd, Bitan told the Khan news outlet here in Israel, "We could not have asked for a better result." Just before the grand final, the Bulgarian delegation asked Khan's Eurovision envoy to report on air that Dara was the only artist who liked Noam Bitan's performance on social media. The rest of the artists in Eurovision were probably boycotting him by not liking anything of his on social media. This is Bulgaria's first ever Eurovision win, and Bulgaria has a long history of being supportive to the Jews. They did not export their Jews during World War II, during the Holocaust, and this was a very sensitive note that I learned actually in speaking with the former president of Bulgaria, President Plevneliev, who is a friend of Israel's, a personal friend of mine, and does a lot to discuss Israeli diplomacy behind closed doors. Now he's flying around the world to conduct business. This is a big win for Bulgaria, and also Israel coming in number two in a time where Israel is so hated in the international community, really says a lot about the talent that was on stage. Kol hakavod, congratulations, and mazal tov to Noam and all of Israel who voted. Israeli naval forces intercepted a Turkish-led flotilla that set sail from the coast of Turkey Thursday, headed toward Gaza. Israeli officers got onto the boat near Cyprus today. That's Monday. Israel says the boat had Hamas supporters on it. Activists aboard the vessels posted videos showing Israeli troops boarding boats and detaining participants before transferring them to the Ashdod port in the south of Israel. The flotilla, organized in part by the IHH group, which is tied to the 2010 Mavi Marmara incident — this was a big incident years ago — it included dozens of vessels and hundreds of participants who said they were attempting to deliver humanitarian aid and protest the Gaza blockade. Israel dismissed the mission as a political provocation serving Hamas and says that it will not allow any breach of the naval blockade surrounding Gaza. An Israeli official stated, quote, "This time we will not release them so quickly," referencing Spanish and Brazilian protesters who came on the flotilla last time. Former Shas minister Moshe Arbel resigned from the Knesset on Sunday, just days before lawmakers are expected to vote on dissolving parliament, a move that would trigger early elections in Israel. The vote is happening late Wednesday night, and if it goes through, it would push up Israeli elections to happen before the high holidays like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Arbel, who previously served as both health and interior minister, became known for occasionally breaking ranks with his Orthodox party by supporting the military draft of Haredi men who are not studying in yeshiva, and he has spoken out against settler violence. Hundreds of people gathered in the central Israeli city of Rehovot on Friday and Saturday to support two businesses that received fines for operating on Shabbat. A local ice cream parlor, Otello, was fined 730 shekels, that's about $250, on Friday for violating a municipal law against conducting business on the Sabbath. This led residents to come out and buy ice cream. And the footage shows a long line outside the doors. Nook, a cafe next to Otello, was fined the week before after receiving a warning letter. It was not clear why the stores were fined at this time, despite operating on Shabbat for more than a year. Enforcement of laws regarding work on Shabbat remains a debate between secular and religious groups in Israel. Municipality and national laws often differ, leading to conflicts with authorities and the national government. Rehovot has about 150,000 residents and is a mixed city with religious and secular people that live inside. A city law permits certain businesses north of the police station in Rehovot to operate on Shabbat, but clearly this ice cream parlor was not in that zone. I shared this because I think it's an interesting issue here in Israel. If businesses need to honor the Sabbath because we're a Jewish company, or if businesses need to operate based on what their local municipality needs, what the residents need. The Israeli government has unanimously approved Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's proposal for a preliminary framework for the National AI, Artificial Intelligence Directorate, marking a significant milestone in Israeli technological advances and launching a full national AI framework. The plan will focus on three main goals: investment in academia, developing and accelerating supercomputing, a big thing that is coming to Israel and already in Israel, and utilization of AI to focus on Israel's strengths and address the challenges facing Israel, its citizens, and its position on the global stage. On top of that, the Israel National Digital Agency will be acquired by the Prime Minister's office from the Ministry of Economy and Industry as part of Prime Minister Netanyahu's plan to bring all leading technology units under the leadership of the Prime Minister's office. The government is working to make public services smarter, more accessible, and fully digitized. The Trump administration hosted a Shabbat gathering at the White House over the weekend after the president urged American Jews to observe the day of rest in honor of America's 250th anniversary, which is coming up. Trump issued the call as part of a proclamation for Jewish American Heritage Month. It marks the first time that a sitting American president has declared a national Shabbat. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas cast his vote in the Fatah movement's elections for new leadership on Saturday at the Ahmad Shakiri Hall at the presidential headquarters in Ramallah. 59 candidates competed for 18 seats on the Central Committee, which is their higher leadership board, while 456 members competed for 80 seats on the Revolutionary Council, which acts as the movement's parliament. The Palestinian Fatah movement was founded in 1959 by a number of Palestinian activists, including Yasser Arafat, if that name rings a bell. Recently, Palestinian elections were held in Gaza, in which the Palestinian Authority is not a part of. And anti-Hamas groups face major hurdles because there's no armed police and no way to counteract Hamas, leaving this terror group in control. Anyone who opposes Hamas is threatened, killed, their livelihood wiped out. Throughout the past decade, Israeli leadership has emphasized keeping Gaza separate from the West Bank, reducing chances of a Palestinian state. President Abbas is 91 years old and in declining health. Reports have been circulating that he could pass down leadership to his son, Yasser Abbas, who is 64 years old. The Palestinian Authority has also come under scrutiny for corruption and stagnation, along with refusing to end its pay-to-slay program, which rewards terrorists who commit terror attacks in Israel. A note from the Israel Daily News, our channels and followings are growing and increasing every day overnight. Our TikTok page has hit 8,500 followers. The Israel Daily News Instagram page has just about 60,000. And I hit my personal goal, 10,000 followers on my personal Instagram page. Our YouTube is about 800. We're doing great. Follow us on social media at israeldaily.news and my personal page at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. We'll have plenty of footage for you to see online from our trip to the north, which we are about to share with you. And don't forget to make a contribution to us on our website, israeldailynews.org. You can click on donate and give us a donation. Your contributions help us do our independent reporting and stay alive. And we're grateful to all of you who are already contributing. And now for a report that will take you into the green mountains of the Galilee. This week, I traveled into Israel's Western Galilee with Jewish National Fund USA and Western Galilee Now for a spring festival bringing visitors back to the north after months of war with Lebanon, which brought major instability and economic uncertainty to the region. And if you haven't been to the Galilee recently, let me just say this. It's stunning. Especially at this time of year. It's green, the air is fresh, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and the wine is just the right temperature. There are green mountains, tiny artist studios hidden in the forests, cheese farms, wineries, Druze restaurants, wild flowers blooming on the side of the road while you drive up. We won't lie. All the way up at the border, fighting continues. Even though there's a ceasefire, there have been episodes of explosions and IDF soldiers being hit. Our trip was super successful in that there were no issues, there were no sirens, and there probably won't be any missiles that extend over the border down into the Galilee, so long as the ceasefire holds up. Most of the action in the last several weeks since the ceasefire was called with Lebanon has been in the buffer zone between Israel and Lebanon. The woman behind it all, behind the Spring Festival, Michal Shiloch Galnong, is the CEO of Western Galilee Now, a consortium supporting small businesses throughout the region. This is her 13th Spring Festival. She says many businesses have no idea from day to day if they have a reason to open their doors. While I interviewed her at the Dugma cheese farm, she said that the owner had been concerned that no one would show up for her cheese-making demonstration. Well, there were some 8 families who came with little kids that day, so it was a success for her. She had a smile on her face. Let's hear from Mrs. Shiloach about the biz.
You just don't know every morning if you're going to open up your business or not. Not even on festival days, just on regular days. You don't know how many employees to order to invite to come and work. You don't know how many supplies to buy. You just don't know. Every day is like a surprise, and it's very hard to run a business and operate it. On the other hand, you just can't close and wait for things to be better, because it's been a long time also, and no one tells you it's a week or 2 weeks, it's forever. So you have to be very flexible, you have to be very optimistic, and also understand that people make decisions last minute.
Tourism makes up around 40% of the economy across parts of northern Israel, and Shiloach says many businesses are currently functioning at around 20% of normal capacity. That ripple effect impacts everyone. Restaurants buy fewer vegetables, businesses hire fewer employees, fewer visitors stop for gas, ice cream, coffee, they don't go to local workshops. Well, I got a chance to ask Mrs. Shiloach about the workshops that are offered throughout the region, and there was one that really surprised me.
you can just find your niche and spend some time with the real people producing or the real artists and talk to them and ask them about life right now in the Galilee and show them you care, because that's part of the support and that's part of our well-being.
What would you say is the most unusual workshop, the most unusual thing that's happening this weekend?
Good question. Well, actually on Saturday, the only place that makes harps in Israel, which is usually common in churches, but actually you make them in Jewish places as well, is having a concert with another musician. So there are two musicians going to be playing on two harps, which is very unique.
And this is the place that is coming is a place that makes the harps?
Harps. Very unique, and ships them all over the world.
Out of wood?
Out of wood.
That's actually very interesting. I'm glad that I asked. The first stop of the day was at Lotem Village for a clay workshop, cheese tasting, and wine tasting overlooking the Galilee Mountains. People learned how to work with clay for the first time, making plates, and I made a spoon rest. And people did this while they were sipping wine and making light conversation. Liat Gilad led the ceramics course, and we got to catch up with her after her workshop.
The idea is to bring people from all around Israel and from abroad at some point to my little studio in the middle of nowhere in the mountains. And the Amuta is doing it amazingly by advertising, by making connections, by creating all these amazing festivals. And it's an amazing opportunity for a little artist like me living somewhere to have everyone coming over to me. I'm a goldsmith. I make jewelry and a ceramicist. I make clay that is functional and sculptural. And yeah, I sell my work. I invite for workshops.
What have you gotten out of being a part of Western Galilee now?
Just more and more people coming to the studio, visiting, buying my work, joining the workshops.
If you could describe how you're feeling about this spring festival, what's your emotion?
I'm happy. It's really exciting to be part of something bigger. I'm an artist working in my little studio, and the festival is an opportunity to open the door and connect.
After the clay workshop, we walked just a minute over to the Lotem Winery, which had just the most shocking, breathtaking view of the mountains. You don't see it when you first walk in, but as you turn onto the wooden deck, it's shocking. I stood with my mouth open for several seconds while I looked at the view. We got an explainer about organic wines, had some tastings, and then jumped in the car toward Dugma Dairy Farm, which was a true highlight. Children fed cows while visitors learned how cheese is made by hand. The owner, Yael Dugma, greeted everyone with so much warmth, laughter, and samples of incredible cheeses. Two of them she made from cow milk right in front of our eyes. One of the cheeses came out hot, and I was in heaven eating it. I didn't know that I loved hot, fresh cheese, but there I was chomping down on it. It was literally produced from where we were standing because it comes from the milk that was taken from the cows on the farm. I mean, you could see everything from one spot. You could see the cheese, you could see the cows, you could see the whole process. Talk about fresh. Yael Dugma's family came from Yemen decades ago with a number of other families. And back then, the Jewish Agency gifted each family a cow and taught them how to make cheese, as well as how to do a number of other agricultural things that require some serious skill and know-how. Today, the Dugmas have created a milky empire. And it all started with one cow that was given to this family, some courses, and some backbreaking work. Things today have been updated with machinery, but so much of the farm technology that we have today did not exist when the Dugma family came from Yemen to Israel. And Yael talked to us about that. She doesn't speak much English, but she pulled together the best English that she had for the Israel Daily News. Listeners, you better believe.
I love people, and I want to teach the people how make cheese. I explain to how the bees make honey.
After a little dance party with the kids and the Western Galilee CEO, dressed in a cow costume. We collected ourselves and the journalists and our delegation, headed over to the last stop of the day, and definitely the most emotional one, Noor Restaurant, owned by Druze chef Basma Hino. Hino lost her husband in the Israel Defense Forces. In 2015, her husband, Marcel, died after being in a coma following a serious injury while he was serving. Though Druze women don't typically work, Basma had to figure out how to support herself and her family. She became a successful restaurateur in her village. The Druze community is a small Arabic-speaking ethnic and religious minority in Israel, known for its unique faith, deep sense of community, mountain villages throughout the Galilee and Carmel regions, and a long tradition of proudly serving in the Israel Defense Forces and public life alongside Jewish Israelis. After October 7th and during the war, Basma made the restaurant kosher so that Orthodox soldiers and religious Jewish visitors would feel comfortable eating in her restaurant. It's completely historic to have a kosher Druze restaurant. The story goes that her son was coming home with soldiers to her restaurant and that they couldn't eat food because it was not kosher. So Basma got in touch with the powers that be and started the process for making her restaurant kosher. Incredible. I'm going to translate her remarks using my own voice. She only speaks Hebrew, so I'm going to share her words in English. We really want people to take the warm hospitality of the Druze community back with them to their homes and for people to feel that they are part of the Druze family. I want them to enjoy the flavors and spices and atmosphere of the Druze community, and especially the religious Jews who never had an opportunity to taste Druze food. It's really exciting and inspiring for us to host them at our restaurant. The reason why we turned the restaurant into a kosher restaurant was essentially for us to be able to send food to the soldiers that are fighting on the front lines in Lebanon. And today, it's not only for the soldiers. It's a big part of what we do. But it's also connecting us to the religious Jewish community, and it's a very special and unique experience. What's special is that a lot of these communities, and especially the religious Jewish community, have never had an opportunity to taste Druze food before because it was never kosher. So we are really creating history here, and that's what's very exciting. There was something very Israeli about this moment, something that people who don't come to Israel don't know exists: diversity, brotherhood, connection beyond the borders of religion or background. A Druze woman in the Galilee making her restaurant kosher during wartime so that more communities could sit and eat together. Not because she was forced to, because she wanted to have connection. Basma was also very enthusiastic about being grateful toward the Jewish National Fund USA and Western Galilee Now for continuing to support small businesses and tourism initiatives throughout the war. Before we left, Michal told me one line that I want to leave with you.
I want people to say, wow, the Western Galilee involves so many amazing places. I must have missed so many. I have to come again.
Thank you to the JNF USA for sponsoring that special report. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2025. Tel Aviv has a low of 22 degrees Celsius and a high of 26 degrees. That's 71 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 79 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our incredible sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, and our associate producer, Lori May. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week, everyone. Shavua Tov. Thank you.